comes high at the company store. That was music by Bucky Hawker, with a lyric by Isaac Hanna from Bucky's CD called Welcome to Laborland, Bucky Hawker and the Complete Unknowns, Bucky on vocal and guitar, and actually looking for where he credits the violinist here. It must be somewhere in this CD, but it's not popping out at me in any obvious way. Here it is, fiddle, Don Sternberg. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us. The program is your connection to local performances. And this by way of introduction to our guests today, who are the first two of a number of guests we will have this week, who will be performing at the fourth annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, taking place in downtown Urbana this weekend, Friday and Saturday. You can get complete scoop at folkandroots.org, and we'll have, I can give you a little bit more of an idea of the scope of what's going on today and then also as the week progresses. But the particular program we're going to focus on that's happening at the festival is going to be on a Saturday at 3 o'clock. It's called Carl Sandburg, Music of the People, Voice of the People. It'll go till about 5 o'clock in the Urbana Free Library, and it is one of the free festival events. There are numerous events that are free. There are others for which you have to purchase a festival wristband, and it's remarkably inexpensive to do that, and then you can get into all these other things that technically aren't free. Carl Sandburg, best known as a poet, of course, but also something of a musician, and we have two musicians, two of the three who will be performing on that event. Two guitarists with us, Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley. Bass player Sam Payne wasn't able to join us on today's program, but will be performing at the event on Saturday. So welcome to Martin and Phil for joining us today. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Martin, you're the guy that told me about this particular event. I know you did something on the University of Illinois campus earlier this month.
Yeah, that's right.
That had something to do with being on soapboxes and giving speeches and so on.
That's correct. We did so I sort of teamed up with the theater department and the U of I speech team to do an event on campus to sort of recreate campaign speeches from the 1912 election. And many people may not know this, but Carl Sandburg was sort of a political activist in the early 20th century and did sort of the lecture tours and whatnot. So we had him represented along with Emma Goldman to sort of get all of the various political perspectives of, you know, the era around 1912. And
I should know, but don't. Who was up in 1912?
It was a very interesting election. You had four candidates, Woodrow Wilson, who eventually won, Taft, who was running for re-election or sort of re-election, and Teddy Roosevelt running against Taft, actually, as the Progressive Party, the Bull Moose Party, and then Eugene Debs as the socialist candidate, who actually got some of the popular vote that year. So,
and I assume that Emma Goldman would have been stumping for him, probably? Or
they may be the most close aligned, but she's an anarchist.
Ah.
So,
well, she came up on one of last week's shows when Champaign Central High School was here.
Oh.
Some of the singers were here to talk about the musical Ragtime.
Okay.
And she appears in that musical. In fact, we had one of the girls who was on the show was singing a song that was attributed in the show anyway, and in the show to Emma Goldman. But that's an aside.
Yeah, and that event that I do, and this event as well, are really part of my efforts to promote the collections of Carl Sandburg that we have at the Rare Book and Manuscript Library. I am the curator of rare books and manuscripts over at the University Library there, and we have an amazing collection of Carl Sandburg correspondence and his manuscripts as well as his personal library. We try to let people know about Carl Sandburg and what the sort of treasures that we have of his at our library.
And the Rare Book and Manuscript Library is one of the co-sponsors of this event,
yeah,
along with, of course, CU Folk and Roots and the University of Illinois Department of English and the Urbana Free Library, who are hosting the event Saturday at 3 o'clock. Do you have a particular interest in background in study of Carl Sandburg yourself, or did you come by it through your work at the Rare Book Room?
More through my work at the Rare Book Room. I mean, he's an Illinois author and poet, so you know I know of him, and I know his more famous, or I knew his more famous poems before coming to work at the Rare Book and Manuscript Library. But I especially became interested in him when I was doing a program with Scott Schwartz at the Sousa Archive. We were doing a Sandburg Guthrie program and performing in some of the schools for a Sandburg event that was held a couple of years ago. And, you know, I was really attracted to his poetry. And when I found out about the song bag, you know, I really started to get into him, because I've always been into folk music, and for a long time, both English and American folk music. And, you know, this collection really was an opportunity for me to sort of look at Sandburg in a different light and to approach that sensibility in his poetry that I think, sort of the title of the event, you know, speaking to or for the people, sort of that close connection with all classes of society.
So you mentioned the song bag. This is referring to the 1927 anthology, The American Song Bag.
That's right, The American Song Bag, yeah.
Which is an anthology. These are not songs that he wrote himself, or did he ever write songs?
I don't think any of the songs in the song bag are attributed to him. These are songs that he collected over a large, sort of a long period of time. He got them from various authors, from institutions he was visiting, you know, just traveling. He was, you know, you may know that he spent some time sort of as hoboing around, and he started picking up songs earlier than, sort of fairly early on in his life. And this is, I think he was about 50, almost 50 years old when this was published.
So picking up songs, as in collecting songs.
Along the road. So he had his own little system of writing down the melodies and as he went, and writing lyrics down, and he's been collecting them. He collected them for a long period in his life before publishing The American Song Bag.
But he actually did do some singing himself.
Oh yeah,
he was a folk singer.
Oh yeah, he would sing. I mean, not as a professional folk singer, but he was a sort of amateur folk singer, but collector, certainly a collector and appreciator and player of folk music.
Isn't it fair to say that most folk singers are amateurs?
No, certainly not. No, I wouldn't say that's true. No,
you wouldn't say that's true?
No, I've seen some people who I would definitely consider professional musicians, the caliber of just as good as any.
There are plenty of such people, but there are also an awful lot of people who seem to, you know, who do folk music as a sideline and may not even take money for it.
Sure,
which makes
absolutely.
You an amateur by
absolutely.
Definition.
I
just sort of popped out with that question, but
yeah.
But it occurred to me that there may well be more amateur folk singers than there are people who actually get money for doing it.
Oh, definitely, that's true. Absolutely, there's more amateur folk singers. Well, that's folk music, right? That's the name.
It's the music of the people, right? Isn't that
the
name of this particular program? Yeah. Well, Martin and Phil, you're here to do some playing and singing, so we might as well let you launch in.
Sure. This first tune we're going to do is called Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie. I should say that a lot of these songs are from the song bag, and sort of some of them we've made our own arrangements of. So the melody may follow closely or less closely to the original in the song bag, or to the melody that you may know. Some of the chord changes are mixed up a little bit. Sometimes we augment to the words. So, you know, it's folk music. We like to take our liberties as we as we choose. Bury me not on the lone prairie, where the wild coyotes will howl over me, where the rattlesnakes hiss and the wind blows free. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie. Thank you. They heeded not his dying prayer. They buried him there on Lone Prairie in a little box just 6 by 3. His bones now rot on Lone Prairie.
Martin Stromberg on guitar, vocal, and whistle, with the guitarist Phil Alley as well, in Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie. Given your introduction that these things might be altered somewhat, I guess I don't know, are there other versions of this tune than the one that I know, which wasn't that?
There have to be.
So you didn't alter this one?
Oh, no, this one, yeah, this is...
The melody I'm talking about.
I think this is altered. You know, I didn't even really read the melody too closely.
But this is not an alteration of yours.
Oh, you know, yeah, we altered it.
Oh,
absolutely.
You did alter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's kind of the octave jump in the beginning is the same.
Well, I mean, the reason I ask that, I mean, there are folk songs which are more affiliated with the poetry.
Yeah.
Than they are with the music, and then there are folk songs which are more
the
melody is what you know the best, and this is the one I certainly know the melody of, and I tend to gravitate less to the text personally.
Yeah,
and there's also hymns where I mean I learned not that long ago that technically a hymn is the text.
Oh,
and
right.
Then there are hymn tunes.
Yeah,
and you can put hymns that belong, you know, to any of a number of different tunes.
Absolutely,
and then sometimes you have. Tunes that also go with any of a number of different hymns.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But anyway, so that was just a point of curiosity. And Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie. This is one of the songs that will be sung on the program Saturday at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival called Carl Sandburg, Music of the People, Voice of the People. It's going to be happening starting at 3:00 at the Urbana Free Library in the Busey Mills Reading Room for a free program. During the festival. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, where Martin and Phil are live with us in the studio. We have support provided today by Cranard Art Museum, presenting a gallery conversation on China Today with Ying Chen, Gail Summerfield, Terry Weissman, and Gary Hsu this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. More information is available online. So on your program Saturday about Carl Sandburg, there will be music, but there also be some poetry.
That's right.
There will be some of his speechifying.
Yeah, there's some of his writings, if not his speeches. I'm probably going to read some stuff that he wrote for some of the socialist newspapers that he worked for in Milwaukee, because I think people are less familiar with that aspect of his career and sort of the social justice issues happening around, you know, this election period. He leaves Milwaukee, I believe in 1912, to move to Chicago, where he eventually writes Chicago Poems. But, you know, this earlier period before, you know, he becomes sort of more famous is lesser known. I kind of want to emphasize all aspects of his life. So have some stuff from Chicago Poems, Smoke and Steel, some readings from, you know, his other sort of journalistic writing as well. And some of his, he delivered speeches. He toured the lecture circuit for a while, so... Anything else I can dig up from aside from what I've already pulled out from the collection? I'm actually reading things from our collection. So,
well, one of the questions I had also was whether you would be doing the reading. Do you have other people who are joining you?
Yeah, Janice Harrington from the English department would be doing some poetry reading, as well as a local poet, Sean Carnes. And then I'll be doing some other readings. And I'm still trying to recruit a couple more readers, actually.
Well, that's how these Folk and Roots things go. You know, as of Friday, they may still have been adding people to the schedule.
Yeah.
And there is a certain improvisational element to the Folk and Roots because there are the Folk and Roots Festival, because there are a lot of things where people can come and bring an instrument and jam. There are workshops where you can come and learn. There are plenty of performances where you can simply go and listen, both to local performers such as yourselves and to also people who are coming from various places out of town who will feature besides today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll have somebody or another from the Folk and Roots Festival, performers from the festival who will be appearing on Live and Local, either live or on Memorex, as they used to say. Not really relevant anymore, I don't suppose. Phil,
yes.
What's your connection to all of this? How did you get roped into this event?
Well, let's see.
I know a little bit about Martin, but absolutely nothing about you, I don't
right.
think.
Right. Well, I met Martin, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months ago.
That's about right, I think.
At a bluegrass show in town. And we sort of bonded over our mutual affinities for acoustic music, folk music. And I played a few shows with them prior.
Them?
Well, okay, yeah, I should specify. Martin hosts these variety shows from time to time. And I played on one of those. So it's a variety of acts, and we had a band. Martin put a band together, and I played as part of that. It was a Woody Guthrie show, right?
We did a Woody Guthrie show, yeah. I do these variety shows in Chicago. I've been doing them since, I think, 2009.
In Chicago. Well, that explains why I don't know about them.
Yeah.
Why haven't you told me?
We do a different theme every time. The upcoming show, actually, is the day after Thanksgiving, the next one. Last one was in before July 4th, which is why we did sort of a Woody Guthrie slash American-themed show, but the next one's day after Thanksgiving, so I'm hopefully going to get some discount Halloween costumes after Halloween, dress the band as pilgrims, and do a British invasion show. It's my goal.
Okay, so for that little aside, so we probably won't be covering that just because our signal doesn't make it to Chicago.
Live and regional will be covering that, actually.
That's right, live and regional. That doesn't have the same ring, no. Sorry. all right, so you met on one of these programs.
We met at a show at the Iron Post, actually, in town, a bluegrass show, and then we've just been getting together regularly and playing music since then.
You're not going to tell me you've been on this radio show before?
Oh, no. This is a first time for me.
Okay. Because people have told me that, and I've been embarrassed because I didn't remember. I guess we've been on long enough that is starting to happen.
Sure.
Where I just sort of lost track. But do you play in one or more of the local groups around here?
I play in another bluegrass band.
Which one?
It's called Black Coffee Fridays. It's a very new, actually it's not a new band. Me and the band is new. It's a new permutation of it, but the band's been around for a couple years. We're actually playing next Saturday.
You are, and I know this because, I mean, I took note of the name because the previous permutation of Black Coffee Fridays was on this radio show, and then you really had me panicking because neither of us remembers that you were here, which would have been something, but I know that their fiddle player went up to Chicago.
He left.
And has been on the show a number of times, once with that group and actually once with the band whom he left here to join, who are the Hen House Prowlers. In any event, so you must have sort of been among the new ones since he left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have to have Black Coffee Fridays back on here sometime.
Absolutely.
Because
it
was certainly an enjoyable gig. Since you mentioned it, do you know when you guys are playing at the festival? I don't have the schedule here.
It's November 3rd, next Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Which is the same as the same day, anyway, that the Carl Sandburg show will
be. He's got a doubleheader.
Exactly, doubleheader.
Well, the Folk and Roots Festival is absolutely packed with activities, and I invite and encourage you to go to their website, which is folkandroots.org. The full schedule is up there. You can look at it a couple of ways. You can look at it, sort of calendarically and see exactly who's playing when, or you can go and look at the various events where you can see who's playing and get description of all those people, and then see when they play, which is a great way to do it also. What do you have for us next?
Let's see. Turn the page here and see what we got lined up. Okay. This is a song called Wanderin'. It's a slow one. This one's a little bit closer, I think, to the original melody than the last one was. but we do it real slow, and we changed a few of the chords.
Martin Stromberg with Phil Alley from their Carl Sandburg show, which is going to happen on Saturday afternoon, live and live and local.
Daddy's an engineer, my brother drives a hack, my sister takes in washing, and the baby ball's a jack, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. I've been wandering early and late, New York City to the Golden Gate, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. Working in the army, working on the farm, all I got to show for it is a muscle in my arm, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. Snakes on the mountain and eels in the sea, 'twas a red-headed woman made a wreck out of me, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, if the whiskey don't get you, then the women must, and it looks like I'm never gonna cease my wandering.
Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley here on Live and Local. So this was from the American Songbag? Is everything you're doing comes from this collection?
Yes, all the songs.
Fair enough. And, of course, the program, Carl Sandburg, Music of the People, Voice of the People, and in the description there, I made quite a point of talking about Sandburg's dedication to the unsung person, whether they are heroes or not heroes, or simply just people. And just looking a little bit at his biography, it seems that he had a fair amount of claim to being just among the people himself, at least the first part of his life. Looking here, bricklayer, farm laborer, hotel servant, coal heaver. This is how it's described.
Coal heaver, that's good. Yeah.
Wikipedia, of course, the best place to get all your news and information. At least if you want to capitalize and not read an entire biography on Carl Sandburg.
There's a great one, though. Penelope Niven wrote one based on sort of the materials in our collection. It's pretty good if you're interested in reading a biography on Carl Sandburg.
Well, I'm also interested in that, but also interested, you know, I've never read his Lincoln biography. I've always heard it's among the better ones, but that's a bit of an aside as well. And, of course, journalist, which I think you mentioned. Did he start his writing career in Chicago?
No, he was writing before that, actually. There's a book of poems that's published before he ever gets to Chicago. But he was working at the Chicago Daily News in Chicago, and that's where he really, you know, got his success, was the poems he wrote about Chicago.
Well, that seemed to have been the journalistic start at the Chicago.
Yeah. Oh,
Chicago
yeah.
Daily News.
Well, some of the socialist writings that he was done, you could really think of as a type of journalism, I think.
Well, it depends whether journalism is supposed to be objective or not.
Right. Is it ever?
ideally,
these days, less and less.
You do your best, but we're not living in an ideal world, are we? But that's yet another aside. What do you know about his own career, or at least time as a folk singer himself? Is that something that he did kind of concurrently with many of his activities?
Yeah, absolutely. He was doing it sort of throughout his life. I mean, even like I said, when he was sort of hoboing around in the early days, before he was even in Milwaukee, sort of more permanent fixture, he would collect songs at that point in time. Throughout his writing after, you know, his time in Chicago, from the period from, I don't know exactly when he started collecting these songs, but, you know, from his 20s until he was, you know, 49 years old when this came out, I think he was still collecting
when the song bag came out.
When the song bag came out, that's right. And, you know, one of the things that I really like about Sandberg's poetry, as well as the songs that he selects, and I don't think he necessarily threw in every song that he'd ever collected, was that you have this focus on, you know, what the topics of folk music, you know, like this song, Hard Times, you know, a song about, you know, difficult and challenging things in ordinary people's lives. And sort of sometimes it's a positive outlook and sometimes a sort of hopeless outlook, as in the last song. But, you know, I'm a really big fan of Woody Guthrie as well, and I see a lot of connection in their sort of their attitudes towards the people and the way that they represent them. So,
how big is this song bag? How many songs are in it?
A lot. I don't know how. I can't. You know, I don't know, more than a couple hundred, I think. Well, at least it's like about 300 pages, maybe around there. You know, I couldn't tell you. It's pretty expensive. There's a lot of tunes.
That's what I wanted to know, more or less.
And a lot of variations too. So, you know, you might have one song with several sets of lyrics, and so it's hard to count them. If you think of it that way, like that last one we did both the A set and the B set of lyrics that he presents. Mm. We did all five verses rather than he collected them originally as two different versions that he had heard, one with the first three verses that we sung and one with just the fourth and fifth verse.
Any idea what his criteria were for putting a song in this collection?
You know, I don't know what his criteria were, but I do know that he had a really difficult time with the whole project, working through all of his sort of notations and probably selecting the pieces. Really, he had a nervous breakdown actually during the process of putting this together because it was so difficult. And he was working with several collaborators at the time. One, this music critic Alfred Frankenstein, and he is getting different people to write harmonizations who may not have been the best harmonizers and arrangers, and, you know, Frankenstein didn't like some of the harmonizations that he was picking out, and he had trouble with the publisher, and it really sort of drove him not crazy, but definitely drove him to actually not drink. He quit drinking and cut his diet down and started sleeping more because he had so much stress due to this project.
No, that's drastic behavior,
yeah,
isn't it? Live healthy when you're stressed out as
it's
a
like
stress
a
reaction. What's that?
It seems like a paradox.
Boy, I wish I had that stress response. A healthy stress response. Who would have thought?
Well, I think his wife was afraid for his health, so she might have had a large part in instituting that regimen.
Okay, right. Well, that would be another story too, wouldn't it? What about your own criteria for deciding which of these songs to pick out for Saturday's event?
Well, that's a really good question. Some of the things I mentioned already, sort of that connection to Guthrie and this focus on the people, there are definitely some songs in the song bag that are more just, you know, sort of happy tunes. And I wanted to focus on stuff that I thought, you know, maybe Sandberg would like to have performed. You know, he would, when he's asked to pick songs, often he would pick sort of the most ragged of the tunes, both musically and lyrically, the roughest,
because
some of the roughest ones. I think that's just sort of his spirit. That's what he was trying to connect to, and I think that his own life was difficult. His father's life was certainly a pretty hard life, and I think that's part of what inspired him to join the sort of take the activist role that he did was this fact of, you know, seeing an ordinary American people living hard lives, especially at this time. And of course, he lived through the Depression as well. I think that definitely had an influence on him.
What made his father's life particularly hard?
Oh, he worked as a railroad mechanic for a long time for little wages and ended up in some bad investments. You know, all the children were working to support the parents for some period of time. And Sandberg actually, you know, trying to pursue a writing career, wasn't really able to provide the kind of financial support to his family that his older sister was. And I think that, you know, just sort of struggling through, working through life, you know, working hard every day, all day long, and coming out at the end of it with next to nothing, really had an influence. That's really what happened to his father, you know, just making it by.
A lot of people sympathetic to that these days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, yeah, you know, I picked out, that's one of the criteria, but that's not my only. I have an affinity for some of the songs that I know in other versions. Like this next one that we're going to do, Careless Love. I really like Lead Belly's version of that, and I try to vocally render that a little closer to Lead Belly's style. The last two, I didn't really know before I started looking through the song.
You mean the two we've heard so far?
Yeah, the two previous mm-hmm. ones. And this last one, I think the melody really grabbed me on Wandering. And the lyrics also I really like. And the first one, you know, I kind of have some prairie songs in here. There's a few prairie tunes since we're in the Midwest. Sandberg's from the Midwest. It's good to do some prairie-themed music. And even though I selected that because of the topic of the lyrics, you know, it's always good to have a musical challenge to try to adapt something into your own style or perform it in your own way. And so picking things almost, not necessarily at random, but musically at random, provides a good challenge, I think.
So since you mentioned a next one, why don't we do that one?
This is a song called Careless Love.
This was the one that you're modeling somewhat after Lead Belly's.
Yeah, somewhat after Lead Belly's version. And this is kind of, we're going to do this kind of bluesy, a little bit bluesy.
Careless love, love, oh love, careless love, love, oh love, oh careless love, see what love has done for me. Sorrow, sorrow to my heart, sorrow, oh sorrow to my heart. Sorrow, oh sorrow, sorrow to my heart, when me and my true love had to part. It's a pity that we ever met. It's a pity that we ever met. It's a pity, oh pity, that we ever met. For those good times never forget. Last night and the night before, Oh, I cried last night and the night before. Oh, I cried last night and the night before. I'm gonna cry tonight and cry some more. Oh, ain't it enough to break my heart? Ain't it enough to break my heart? Oh, ain't it enough to break any poor man's heart to see his love with another sweetheart?
Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley, music from Carl Sandburg's American Songbag, his anthology from 1927. These songs, along with some poetry and some of his other written works, will be presented at a free program on Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Urbana Free Library as part of the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. It's the fourth annual such festival happening on Friday and Saturday. This weekend. On tomorrow's program, we'll be having at least one performer from who will also be on that festival, another local musician named Margaret O'Brien. She'll be bringing her mountain dulcimer and her voice to the program, and still trying to sort out when we'll be including some of the other interviews. I know I'll be talking at some point this week with a member of a group, with a visiting group, with the wonderful name of Tequila Mockingbird. Tequila as in the drink, and other people who will be appearing on during the festival. You can get lots of information, well, all the information you could possibly need on Folk and Roots Festival by going to folkandroots.org. A festival wristband will get you into everything. There are a lot of free things, including the Sandburg program, but to get in everything else, you need to buy a wristband. You can do that during the festival anytime at their Welcome Center, which will be located in the Independent Media Center, which is the old post office building right next to Lincoln Square, starting on Friday evening, 5:30. You can get your wristband there. You can also buy a wristband in advance online at the website or at Heartland Gallery, which is on West Main Street in downtown Urbana. And then there are other venues that are presenting the musicians, various places you can find wristbands. It's easy to do, and as I said, you can just do it right at the festival if you want, and the wristband will get you into everything that otherwise would normally require a ticket if it were most any other kind of event. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's musical heritage at the University of Illinois. Now featuring new exhibits entitled America's Musical Past, Shenanigans, Hootenannies, and Other Twisted Adventures. More information is available at SousaArchives.org. And as Martin mentioned earlier in the program, among the co-sponsors of Saturday's event are the U of I Department of English, and the Rare Book and Manuscript Library of the University of Library, which is where Martin works. And they have lots of material of Carl Sandburg in there and lots of other really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
If you've never been in the Rare Book Room, it's
definitely worth
checking out.
We have a great exhibit up right now on the history of economics from our Hollander collection, which is one of the three best economics collections in North America.
History of economics sounds to me like a lot of politicians ought to review that, maybe learn a few things about how economics actually does work, and then how people perceived that it worked at one time or another and found out, oh, it doesn't really work that way. Guess what? It still doesn't. Notice that I'm not saying one point of view or another. I'm just saying in general.
That's right. The economists themselves disagree, so.
Oh, they certainly do, often quite publicly. American Songbag of Carl Sandburg has, as you can hear just even from the three songs we've heard so far, quite a broad range of music in it. I guess he said that he wanted it to include, quote, a ragbag of stripes and streaks of color from nearly all ends of the earth, rich with the diversity of the United States.
That's right. That's what you're getting here a little bit.
Yeah. I know you're going to have some poetry and some other readings at the event. Did you happen to bring anything along today that you wanted to
share?
You know,
I didn't bring any Carl. They should have thought to bring some Carl Sandburg poetry.
And you don't have anything memorized, Martin?
Oh, you know, there's a few that I've done, but it's been about a year and a half. I've performed, like I said, Scott and I performed some Sandburg stuff.
This is Scott Schwartz from the Sousa
Archive.
Yeah,
Scott Schwartz from the Sousa Archive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we performed some Sandburg and Guthrie stuff, and we did some great poems.
Well, you don't need to.
And I don't know if I can...
You wouldn't want to dredge it up and then get it all wrong.
That's true.
Because someone who would know would be listening, and then I'd get the phone call and...
You'd have to deal with
that. I'd have to deal with
that. Or they could come track me down in the Rare Book Library, too. And
Martin works in the Rare Book Room.
Criticize me to my face.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'd best stick with the music there.
That sounds good for now. If I can remember one, I'll.
If it comes to you, you'll let me know.
But next up, we've got a song that some people who are listening might be familiar with called I Ride in Old Paint. Have you heard this song before?
Well, I thought I'd heard some of the other songs before, but they sound different. You're doing them in a different way,
so we'll
find out.
This one's pretty close to the original, I think.
We'll find out.
For the most part. Okay. I ride an old pain. I lead an old Dan. I'm going to Montana for to throw the hula hand. They're feeding the coolies, they're water in the draw. Their tails are all matted, their backs are all raw. Ride around, little doggies, ride around them slow. For the fiery and snuffy all raring to go. Old Bill Jones had two daughters and a song. One went to Denver and the other went wrong. His wife, she died in a pool room fight. Still he sings from morning to night. Ride around, little doggies, ride around them slow. For the fiery and snuffy are raring to go. Take my saddle from the wall, put it on my pony, lead him out of his stall. Tear my bones to his back, turn our faces to the west, and we'll ride to the prairie that we love the best. Ride around, little doggies, ride around them slow. For the fiery and snuffy all raring to go.
Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley, both playing guitar, and Martin on the vocal. I think you told me that at least at the show, eventually there'll be, you might have two or three singers at the same time. Your third musician isn't with us today, bass player Sam Payne, or did I misremember that?
No, that's right. We haven't actually worked up any of the harmony parts for these tunes yet, but I welcome Phil to jump in at any point in time. And we'll have one more practice, get some harmonies worked out for some of these tunes by the time the show comes around.
So it is the three of you performing.
Just a trio,
yeah. Yeah. And then some additional guests, as you mentioned earlier, doing some of the readings, both poetry and some.
Yeah, that's right. Janice Harrington and Sean Carnes, who's a local poet here.
How much does Illinois figure in? I know you said you got some of the prairie songs, but how much does Illinois figure in the song bag? Since he did that while he was still living here, I think, before he moved off to North Carolina.
Yeah, and when he was traveling around, so you know, Carl Sandburg traveled quite a bit in his early life, and he was collecting music at that point too, and like I said, giving lectures sort of around. So one of the songs we did is from, you know, a folk group at the University of Oregon that he got when he was visiting there. He's a well-traveled individual. So, you know, Illinois isn't figured particularly, it's not emphasized really in the song bag. I think like the sort of statement that you read earlier about being collecting a ragtag of stripes and streaks of color is pretty accurate to represent the song bag is songs from everywhere and songs just that that catch on and people sort of take with them and remember. So it's really the memorable songs are the ones that are going to be here. But I didn't pick anything particularly Illinois out for the event.
Is the song bag organized in any particular way?
It's organized thematically.
So, for example?
Hobo songs might be one of the themes that... or...
You mentioned prairie songs. Is that a segment?
Yeah, there is a segment that contains the prairie songs, but I don't know if that's what the section is titled necessarily. It could be like homesteading songs or something.
Surely
like
there are love songs.
There are, well.
Or do they just
there
cross
many,
so many?
There are
different...
many. I mean, love's mentioned in many, many songs. I think that's kind of hard to, you know, would you classify Old Susanna as a love song?
Potentially.
Or Clementine, maybe, as a love song.
Potentially.
Good. I think, yeah. Love kind of falls into much things represented in the human condition.
Labor songs, political songs?
Not really political songs, no.
He wasn't out to make statements with his collection.
No. I think he really is just trying to represent sort of the diversity of American folk music. It's a large collection, like I said before, and I don't think he excluded a whole lot.
And it influenced some pretty important people, musicians.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say about the influence of the song bag. It certainly was well received, but because folk songs are hard to trace, you never know if somebody heard or read something first in the song bag that's represented there or heard it somewhere else. But it certainly has influenced me.
Any more obvious way than the fact that it widened your or broadened your knowledge of American folk song?
Absolutely. You know, the more that I get into folk music, the more that I realize the connections and sort of the tropes that run within the folk tradition, both in America and in England. I grew up listening to a lot of English folk music. Specifically, you may know this sort of psych rock English folk band called Steel Eye Span.
Yes, I've heard them a little bit.
And they do a lot of traditional stuff in a, you know, they switch it up a little bit and do their own arrangements, but stay melodically often very close to the ballads from which they come. And a lot of the tropes throughout those songs, you know, I find within American tunes as well. One of the songs we were thinking about doing but decided to drop was Barbara Allen. And there's this English folk ballad called Brown Girl that has a lot of the same themes. The more that I learn new folk songs, the more I'm able to identify these tropes and sort of pick up on the real close connection of different folk songs, and that oral tradition comes to light when you see all that theme and variation.
Speaking of oral tradition, did he, as far as you know, did Sandberg pick up a lot of these songs through the oral tradition? You know,
absolutely.
Hearing people do it, and then he...
That was the main ways. Like I said before, he sort of devised his own notation for jotting down the melodies that he heard quickly. And it's all from other people hearing them performed or, you know, playing music at little folk jams and picking up songs that he liked. And
which also means necessarily that, to come back to your earlier theme or at least comment about different versions of different songs, he put down whatever version he happened to have heard.
Yeah, and in some cases multiple versions, right, if he had heard variations. Yeah, so, you know, he makes a comment about sort of the incompleteness of the volume, and basically says that, you know, you can't, those who know these folk tunes will know, you know, how much there is left to do with this work and how much, you know, it's really incomplete because there's so many variations and so many versions, and especially when you're doing a melodic transcription, I mean, there's so much lost in the feeling of the tune. And that's why I feel good sort of taking liberties with the songs, not just because it's a folk tradition, but in dealing with a transcription, you're essentially, you are certainly losing the performative aspect in many ways of, you know, the feeling and sentiment that goes into a tune.
Well, I think we have time for one more.
All right.
Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley from Carl Sandburg's The American Songbag.
This tune is a pretty well-known song called Kentucky Moonshiner. I'm doing a little bit a la Bob Dylan, I guess. Close to it, but maybe a little faster than he does it. And we'll try to do it fast. I've been a moonshiner for 17 long years. I've spent all my money on whiskey and beer. I'll go to some holler and set up my still. If whiskey don't kill me, I don't know what will. I'll go to some barroom and drink with my friends, where the women can't follow, and see what I spend. God bless those pretty women, I wish they was mine. Their breath is as sweet as dew on the vine. Give me whiskey when I'm thirsty, food when I'm dry, dollars when I'm hard up, and religion when I die. This whole world's a bottle, and life's but a dram. When the bottle gets empty, it ain't worth a damn.
Martin Stromberg and Phil Alley, live on Live and Local. They're going to be performing along with bass player Sam Payne and also some different readers on a program called Carl Sandburg, Music of the People, Voice of the People, Saturday, starting at 3 p.m. at the Urbana Free Library, a free program. It's going to be in the Busey Mills Reading Room, and it's one of many, many events happening at the 4th Annual Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which starts on Friday, continues through Saturday. You can get the full schedule by going to folkandroots.org, and you'll hear some other performers from the festival who will be on our show tomorrow through Thursday, and we'll try to highlight what we can, given that they will have over 80 performers, artists, and storytellers during the course of the festival. Phil and Martin, thanks very much for joining us on
thanks
the show, and have fun
Thank
on
you.
Saturday.
Yeah, thanks.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9, where programming is made possible by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Here's just a few events you can go see and hear live in our listening area tonight. It's an Illinois State University faculty recital featuring the faculty jazz musicians. It'll be at the University Galleries on the ISU campus in Normal tonight at 8 o'clock. Millikan University's jazz combos are at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur this evening at 6 o'clock. And Sam Payne, who was not able to join us today, will be co-hosting the weekly Hootenanny at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293AF Danville.